Good evening, everyone. Certainly good to be back again this evening, see everyone that we have out with us. And as was mentioned earlier, we need to remember to pray for Bill and Mara as they are traveling. This morning we talked about being thankful and how thankful we should be as God's children. And this evening I want to think about a subject. I wouldn't say it's, on one hand, it is completely different than what we were talking about this morning. And you'll understand as we get in to the study. But did any of you have a chance to watch the impeachment hearings this week or hear any of the clips of those witnesses that they would play on the news shows at night? I heard some of those, and one of the things that really struck me was that some of those people were so arrogant. They were just plain arrogant. They weren't elected people. They were appointed. And they thought that their views, their opinions were better than somebody else's opinions. And they let the whole world know that. In Judges 17:6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That's been a problem back from the time of Israel to today. Whether there is or is not an authority figure, people want to do whatever's right in their own eyes. And they think they are entitled to do whatever they want. And when it comes to religion, they think that the more choices, the better. Carol said someone came in, an adult and a child right before services, and she went back to check, and if I understood correctly, they were looking for a place that had a dinner tonight. That's what some people think of when they think of religion. This last week, or week before, my surgeon released me from in-home therapy, so I'm doing outpatient therapy now, and the place I go to is on Little York Road over close to Sam's over there by Miller Lane. And one of the therapists I had last week, he was asking me what I do for a living. I told him a preacher, and he said, where are you a preacher? I said, in New Lebanon. He said, New Lebanon? I live in New Lebanon. And I invited him to come to services, and he said, oh, I go to some place, and he mentioned the place down in Miamisburg. And you know, you think, what are the chances? There's over a dozen different churches in this small community, and somebody always wants something different. People ask me sometimes, well, what do you have for the young folks? And I tell them, we have everything that the church has for young people. But see, and they don't understand, because they think that the church is responsible for entertainment, for socialization, things like that. That's a function of the home, not a function of the church. And it comes back to understanding the authority that God has given to us, His Word, and are we going to submit to it or not? It's often asserted that everybody has a right to their own belief. If the Bible teaches this, then everyone ought to teach this, and some places do. If the Bible does not teach this, then we should not teach that everyone has a right to their own opinion. So this being a religious question, we need to turn to the Bible to find an answer for this. So let's consider this question in light of the Bible. Let's start back in Genesis chapter 4. And we looked at this briefly in class this morning about Cain and Abel. And Cain, God did not have respect to Cain's offering. And in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 4, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Why did God not accept Cain's offering. We learn from Hebrews 11 and chapter 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. So to be righteous and accepted by God, we have to act by faith. And again, we mentioned this morning, the way we get faith is from God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we do something without faith, it's sin. We have to have a thus saith the Lord, it is written. We have to speak as the oracles of God. And it's not up to us to do whatever we decide is right to do. Cain did not follow God's instructions, and Jude warns us about the way of Cain in Jude 11. So what was this way of Cain? It's a way of human opinion. I don't see anything wrong with this. It's human opinion. People today will say, well, many churches, that's fine, that's good. We all have our choice. But we aren't entitled to our choice. It's not by faith. Some people say faith only will save us. The Bible doesn't teach that. The way of Cain is a way of substitution. And we see that in so many religious bodies today. They will substitute a mechanical instrument instead of singing. They will substitute one thing for another. The way of Cain is rejecting God's way. Cain's works were evil, and Cain basically was serving the devil. So from the start, if everybody had a right to their own belief, I guess we could have even gone back to Adam and Eve before Cain, but here we see very clearly with Cain that he did not have a right to his own belief. God was disappointed with him, and he was judged as not being righteous. Well, let's turn to another example in the Old Testament, to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. And here we have the story of Naaman the leper, and Elisha. And Naaman thought that Elisha would make a big display over him. And in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Naaman thought that Elisha was going to do some great thing for him. Elisha told him to go to the Jordan River. Naaman thought that there were other rivers just as good or better than the Jordan. And in verse 12, he mentions these other rivers that are in Damascus. He says, are they not better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. Wasn't Naaman entitled to his own opinion, how he could be saved? No, he wasn't. He wasn't entitled to his own opinion. In verse 13, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So Naaman thought that this prophet would come out, do something elaborate over him, that he could go and dip where he wanted to. Again, this is a sin of substitution. When was Naaman cleansed of his leprosy? When he obeyed the word of God. When he went to the right place, when he dipped the number of times that he was told to. And then in verse 14, so he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So again, we have to do things God's way. We aren't entitled to say, well, I don't think we have to be baptized, immersed. We can be sprinkled. I don't think we have to be sprinkled. I think we can just believe. We can't substitute what God tells us to do. Naaman didn't have a right to his own belief, and we don't have a right to our own belief. And in some way, in talking with their friends and neighbors, we need to get across to them that they don't have a right to their own belief. And again, going back to those hearings, you see, we have a commander in chief, and we have these people, right or wrong, whether he's right or wrong, if they disagree with him, they still have to subject themselves and carry out his orders. They have to obey to him. And the parallel, we have God as our authority. We are not entitled to come up with our own decision on what we want to do. Well, let's turn to the New Testament, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, and consider Paul. Paul was a great man. Surely he had a right to his own belief. But look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6. And he's talking about his past, his pedigree, things he's done, who he is. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is the law, blameless. So Paul, in his opinion, he thought he was right to persecute the church. He had authority to take and have Christians bound and taken off to be put to death. Did he have that right? No, he was wrong. And he elaborates on that more in Acts 26. Acts 26, beginning at verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. See, Paul thought that he was pleasing to God. He thought that he had a right to his own opinion. And you turn back chapter 2 to Acts 23 and verse 1. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Did he live sinlessly? No. He lived in sin because he was contrary to the law of Christ. He was persecuting Christians. He was having them bound and put to death. And he said, "I've done this in all good conscience." See, Paul did not have a right to his own belief. And when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." Paul recognized that he was wrong, that he didn't have a right to his own belief, and that he was the chiefest of the sinners. So notice, Paul did not have the right to his own belief. And unlike many preachers today, he did not teach that everyone else has a right to their own belief. People today will say, join the church of your Christ. Be saved the way you want to. Come as you are. You don't have to change. You don't have to change your lifestyle. Jesus loves you. But what did Paul teach? Paul taught that there is only one gospel. When we turn to Galatians chapter 1, he says, "Paul, an apostle not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised us from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that we might deliver us from his present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Friends, there's only one gospel. There's only one truth. Paul taught that there is only one truth, and we must not change it. We are not entitled to change the gospel to suit what we want to. Again, Paul told Timothy to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:3. We aren't entitled to change God's word. We aren't entitled to our own opinion. But what has happened in this world that we live in? Opinion has replaced the facts, the truth. It has replaced authority. You think this is wrong? Well, I think this is right. Well, you do what you want, and I'll do what I want. And people let that go on. They let it go on. They let it continue. And when authority is not respected, when authority is not enforced, what's going to happen? Evil is going to abound. And we see that. In the old law, under the old law, whoever shed man's blood, by man shall his life be required, his blood be required, capital punishment. And how were they to do that? They were to do that quickly, speedily. Because you put someone, you charge someone, and then he dies in prison waiting to be put to death, that's not going to stop anybody from going out and doing the same thing. But when they would put someone to death in Israel, when they would break the law and when they would be stoned and put to death, that would get your attention. Ananias and Sapphira, when in the early church, when they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they fell dead. What happened to the church? Fear came over the dead. Fear came over the church. It came over the church. We've lost fear because we've lost respect for authority. But Paul did not teach that everyone has a right to their own belief. And think about this. If everybody had a right to their own belief, then we wouldn't need God's word. His word would be useless, and Christ's terms of pardon could be ignored. If everybody had a right to their own belief, Jesus wouldn't have needed to leave heaven, come to this earth, suffer and die as a man, shed his blood on the cross for our sins. If everyone has a right to their own belief, we wouldn't have to follow God's plan of salvation. We wouldn't have to follow God's plan of work and worship. Jesus said that the will of God must be done. And in Matthew chapter 7, on the Sermon on the Mount, when all the people were going to come to him, and they said, "Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name and cast out many demons in your name and done all of these wonderful works?" And then what did he say to them? He said, "Depart from me, ye that practice iniquity or lawlessness." Not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. We aren't entitled to our own opinion. We are not entitled. Jesus prayed that all might be one on the basis of the word of God. In John 17, we have the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He prayed to the Father. 1 Corinthians 1:10, the prayer was that there would be no division, but the same mind and the same judgment. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6, the section talking about the unity of the Spirit? Do we get to decide what we are united on? We aren't entitled to our own opinion. It says one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. If we want to believe something else, we aren't entitled to that. Just think about this. If every person had a right to his own belief, it would make God a respecter of persons. You stop and think about this. With God, there's no partiality with God. God will not save us differently than he said he would save us. God will not save me differently than he saved the ones on the day of Pentecost. God will not save anybody in my family differently than he saved the ones on the day of Pentecost. And people start, you get into these arguments and they start talking, they bring in the emotions. Oh, you mean my mother, you mean my father, you mean my grandmother, you mean they aren't in heaven? Friend, I'm just reading what God said. He's the one that is the authority. We have to show people what God says, and then it's in God's hands. He is the judge. But if he did save one of my relatives differently than he saved the Jews on the day of Pentecost, if he did save me differently than he saved the Jews on the day of Pentecost, then God would be a respecter of persons. He would be showing partiality, but he is impartial. He's impartial. And again, going back to listening to some of those hearings, when they didn't have facts to stand on, what would they do? They would start reading the credentials of the witness. Oh, this person is so great. They've done this. They've done that. This person is just so great. And it gets people, they're trying to sway people to emotions instead of the Word of God. And again, you think about many times when Jesus was confronted by false teachers that were asking him questions. Did he ever appeal, did Jesus, in answering a question, did he ever appeal to the argument of emotion? Did he ever say, oh, I know how hard you've had it. I know what you've been through. I know what you're up against. How did Jesus respond to any of those arguments? It is written. It is written. Back to authority. Back to authority. And we have to understand that God's authority is absolute. God's authority is absolute. And God's love is infinite. God's justice is infinite. And God's justice is blind. Just like we have the statue of Lady Justice, where she's holding the scale with the balance to weigh decisions. And what does she have on her face? She has a blindfold. She has a blindfold because she's no respecter of persons. That represents God. God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to look at one person differently than other. Peter recognized that God is no respecter of person in Acts 10. In Romans 2:11, we read, "For there is no partiality with God, and God has given one plan for all men." One plan. Whosoever will. It's universal. One plan, but that one plan cannot be changed. We aren't entitled to change it. God never gave man a right to their own belief. He's God. He's God. If our belief became the standard, just think how confusing that would be. And that's what's happening with all the denominationalism out there. And when you go back to the first century, there is just one church. When the Lord added them to the church, which church did he add them to? The Baptist church, the Methodist church? He added them to the church of the Lord, the Church of Christ. And then there wasn't anything else for several hundred years till within the church, as Paul warned the elders at Ephesus, there are going to be people from within your group that are going to rise up and teach perverse things. Then one elder started elevating himself over the other elders. You kept digressing and going further, and you had the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. So God teaches man that there's one church in one way. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. That's his church, his one church. Ephesians 4, 4, again, one body. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's exclusive. That means that excludes any other way. And people will say, well, aren't I entitled to my own opinion? You mean I can't get to the Father this way? No, we can't. We can't. Jesus is the only way. Ephesians 1, 3, we looked at that this morning. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. They aren't outside of Christ, they're in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10, salvation is in Christ. Romans 3:24, redemption is in Christ. Well, how do we get in Christ? We are baptized into Christ. So man does not have a right to his own belief about this. But then even with baptism, to get into Christ, man thinks, well, I'm entitled to my own opinion. I think sprinkling is okay. I think infant baptism is okay. I think this way is okay. And that's just plain arrogance. That's plain arrogance, saying, God, I don't respect your authority. Romans 6:4 talks about being buried with him through baptism. Colossians 2:12, buried in baptism. Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. If he came up out of the water, he had to go down into the water. The same in Acts 8 with the Ethiopian treasurer. And there it talks about Philip and the Ethiopian going down into the water. And it talks about both of them coming up out of the water. Out of the water. People think they're entitled to their own opinion on baptism. They think they're entitled to their own opinion on heaven. God says it's for those who do his will. Matthew 7:21. Most of the denominations say heaven is for everybody. God loves you. God loves you. Give me your money and you're going to heaven. People swallow that because it tickles their ears. God says the disobedient will go to hell. Do I say that? I'm just repeating what God says. Revelation 21:8. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, when Christ returns in flaming fire with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on those who know not God and on those who do not obey the gospel. It's not a matter of my opinion, it's what God says. Man thinks instrumental music is okay. You're entitled to your belief. We aren't, friend, we aren't entitled to our belief. We are not. So doesn't everybody have a right to his own belief? Well, when we look at the Bible, if everybody had a right to their own belief, you think we would be able to find some examples in God's Word. And we just looked at a few examples tonight, but all the examples we looked at, people were not entitled to their own belief. Cain did not have a right to his own belief. Naaman did not have a right to his own belief. Paul did not have a right to his own belief. And the Apostle Paul did not teach that each of us has a right to our own belief. And again, if everyone did have a right to their own belief, we could just take this Bible and throw it away. Because what good would God's Word be if we all thought of ourselves being equal with God? If everybody had a right to their own belief, it would make God a respecter of persons, because God would be saving all of us in different ways. But we know that God is not a respecter of persons, and we can only be saved one way. God did not give a right to our own belief. He does not give us that. God gives us no such rights. He gives us His Word, and we must submit to it. John 12:48, the word I spoke is what will judge you in the last day. Friends, there are so many people today that think you can do whatever you want to do, live however you want to. You're entitled to do that, and God is going to welcome you into heaven. Friend, the Bible does not teach that. We need to make sure that we are submitting to God's will, that we are not changing God's will because we think that we are entitled to. And we need to make sure when we're talking to people that we come in contact with, that we get them to understand that. And one of the good ways to do that is by starting off talking about authority and showing how we must submit to authority. Has everybody here this evening submitted to the authority of God? Have you been baptized in His name? Are you living as you should? If we haven't, we aren't entitled to live any other way and expect to receive the blessings that God has promised. God is no respecter of persons. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.